You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
No more music.
That caught me off guard. We don't get to dance today.
No, we do not. You didn't know I was going to do that.
No. Scared me.
I just don't know. I don't. How can you play the song?
You can't play the song.
Oh, welcome to Bison Report Radio. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum. Joining me today is number 57 in your program, number one in your hearts, Mr. Zach Willis. Zach, how are you?
I'm great. I wouldn't say great, I guess. I'm alive. And you know what? We can hang our hats on that.
Yeah.
Whatever happened in Grand Forks last Saturday, we woke up from it. The sun rose.
Yeah.
That being said, we'll get into it a little bit later, but it was not fun dealing with the fallout of what happened last Saturday. So, you know, been better, but, brighter days ahead.
Sort of like, I guess, different types of terrible for the two of us. So, like, I got together, and I love these people, but I got together with my family. So, there's not one single non-NDSU fan on my mom's side. Like, You've met these people. You've tailgated with them. That's our thing. Like, my grandma and grandpa went to NDSU, and my parents, we have a family tailgate. All of those people got together and witnessed that together.
Yeah.
Not great.
No.
Your experience, however, was in the godforsaken place, and that couldn't have been great.
No, it was not good. I mean, like, we all were witnessing the game and how it was going, and I had to watch these dorks get up and leave to go to a UND hockey game as we were winning the football game. And it's just like, you don't deserve what's happening right now.
Yeah.
You don't deserve to experience this, but I left after the third quarter. Ross, there haven't been a lot of Bison football games that I've walked out of early that we were winning, because you know what? I was a guy who played late in games. I always appreciated when fans stayed late.
That's the Christian Dudzik. Are you not entertained? That's the original Bison meme.
I was far from entertained. to be completely honest with you, out of there, I felt like I was in, like, you know, the things they put your head and hands in and they throw tomatoes at you. That's what it was like. And I deserved it because I was in there talking crap and they gave it back to me. So I'm just glad it's over with. And I don't think I'll ever watch another football game up there.
I told you. I told you.
But how sweet would it have been?
I know.
Actually, you know what? The opportunity cost isn't great, because even if we win up there, then I'm still in Grand Forks.
Well, yeah, I mean, we did it. Like, you and I were there. Yeah. We went up. We did the tailgate thing. We did the Quincy Patterson 16-10 of it all. We went
Cordell fighting a coach.
Yeah, we went and got Boss's Pizza, because at the time that wasn't available. And I'll just say that. Now that Boss's is in Fargo, we don't need to go to Grand Forks
Absolutely
anymore.
Zero reason to go
Absolutely
to Grand Forks.
Absolutely zero reason to go to Grand Forks. All right, anyway, into the news. The 50-50 raffle might hit 200 grand. So if you weren't going to go to NDSU Western, you might. You might should.
Yeah. You know, that's just called sound investment. You know, you spend 2 hours, you put $10 in the 50-50.
My parents are going down to Manhattan for the K-State game, and they're like, you going? I'm not sure. It's like, well, if you're going, you're buying tickets. Like, can you go to the tailgate and buy some tickets? And then, or maybe. Anyway.
How do you not claim that? Let's have the bigger discussion.
That's crazy.
I want to be in the point in life where, like, I'm not worried about picking up 100 grand that I went into 50-50.
I mean, my theory is pretty simple, right? It's like, they're out there in the tailgating lots. People are consuming.
Consuming what? Big Deck Barbecue?
Yeah. They're flush with Big Deck Barbecue. Can't remember stuff. I think that's my theory, right? It's some college kid, you know, who put in $20 to buy however many.
Right.
And they had either too much to drink, or, like, a lot of college kids just leave at half and go to Chubb's or go to Turf or whatever.
That hurts my heart thinking about it being a college kid that could have had
money. I know, right? But like, that's my theory is like, it's somebody that left the game early.
Yeah.
And threw it away or didn't think of it or whatever. Yeah. That's my theory. I could be wrong, obviously, but that's my theory. Players only meeting. Players only meeting was called Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I have questions. And if a player wants to reach out to Bison Report, you can do that through Zach or through DMs or some of you probably, somebody's got my phone number, I'm sure.
Right.
I'd like to know, I guess, why the media knew.
I wish we didn't know there was a players only meeting.
Right. So like, and it's the person who reported about the players only meeting. It's his job to report things.
Yeah.
Right. Like I, Ross Uglum, have I made an NDSU coach mad by reporting something before?
What side of the ball of the staff do you want to start on? We can call him and ask.
Anyway, it's his job to report it, whatever. But I wonder, because they were getting players on record about the players-only meeting.
Yeah, it wasn't like slimy reporter. Like, he wasn't waiting outside their house to see all these guys meet there.
So my question is kind of like, did someone hold a players-only meeting and then tell the media about the players-only meeting?
Yeah.
Or was there a players-only meeting and then at individual interviews, which happened Tuesdays and Wednesdays, did a player start talking about the players-only meeting? Like, I just have sort of questions like that, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, discuss.
Yeah.
You're the player here. Mm-hmm. I'm the other guy, right? So like, I would imagine with all the winning that happened for you guys, there maybe wasn't a players only meeting that you were a part of.
Yeah, it was never like leaders of the team calling us just players. Some we had our come to Jesus moments for sure, but like you said, it wasn't a lot of what happened last Saturday in Grand Forks happening to us when we played. But I like that it's happening. It means that like they recognize something needs to happen, and these leaders stepping up. And I tweeted about it after the game. I saw Kava and Cam talk about it in their post-game pressers of like, well, we're really going to see who has this Bison pride that we talk about, because this last five is going to define us more than anything that's came before. And yeah. I completely agree with them, and I think something like that is a great start. And it's fairly inconsequential that it came out to the media, but it's just it wasn't really necessary, I guess, and that's the weirdest thing to me. But I'm glad it's happening. It's not like they're just sitting back and, hey, it's Weston, we'll roll the helmets out. We still need to get this thing going before something else bad happens.
Yeah. No, and I'm with you there. I just, you know, I figured maybe after that one spring loss where but I just didn't know. We didn't have players-only meetings on the golf team.
Sure.
Like, get it together.
That's called lunch. It was six of you.
Yeah. So, like, that, you know, that's just not, you know, in my brief high school football coaching career, I am unaware of a players only meeting that has gone on. So I wanted your perspective on that.
That was kind of what I'm glad things are like that are happening. They're not just staying the same because, you know, the USD game happens. We play poorly, what you could call poorly against UCA. And then we get starched by UND. And when was the last time two games like that have happened in the same season for NDSU versus just the one-off, the Southern Illinois in the spring season?
Yeah.
Like, if it happens twice, I'm glad these guys are recognizing, like, hey, it's on us. You know, nobody's coming to save us right now.
And I think, you know, the closest thing would be, but even those were close games. The closest thing, obviously, would be when the Montana loss in week zero followed somewhat shortly by the Carson breaks his hand USD loss at home.
Right.
That's the closest thing we have to, because even like, they did. I was trying to think, did the NDSU spring team lose twice before Sam Houston? They did, because they lost SIU and then they did lose at home to South Dakota State. Yeah. So that was loss two.
Right.
And then obviously
those are two teams where it's like, that could be a toss up every year though.
Yeah.
And like UND and USD, you don't count those as wins, but it's like we shouldn't be losing by double digits to these guys right now.
Right, and they didn't lose by double digits to USD, I don't think. But, like, yeah, right. Like, there was a comeback, and Yeah, the UND thing just was never in control.
Lost by 25.
Yeah, I know. And they kind of backdoored 25. Yeah. You know, so that was tough. Wiz probably out this week with a concussion. The other one was OJ, Owen Johnson out for the season. That stinks.
It's too bad. He was really fun to watch.
He was.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's an opportunity there. You know, they still got Barica and TK and Tomerik. I'd like to see Tomerik get going a little bit. I know people are kind of blaming his lack of touches when teams are kind of giving the QB read to the QB read plays.
Right.
And I guess I understand some of that. Like, I'd maybe like to see Tomerik on a couple more A-gap power, maybe some G, get him going on stuff that's not always a read option.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think an opportunity certainly exists for a freshman running back. We're getting to the point where, which is what we'll talk about now, the playoffs don't count for the four-game rule.
That's very interesting.
So if you had a true freshman running back, and they've got a couple, if you had a true freshman running back you wanted to get a sniff, don't play him in one of these two, and I'm using this term dangerously, but you've got a couple of layups coming up here against Murray and Western.
Yeah.
Theoretically. I mean, we've seen this NDSU team blow out bad teams. We have seen that. We've seen this NDSU team blow out ranked deep.
Like, good teams.
Right. Yeah. So I think them being 38-point favorites and people being like, God, they might lose. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody's saying that, but I think the expectations have been adjusted for this Bison team.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be adjusted the next 2 weeks. So what I'm saying basically is you want to get a look at a true freshman running back. Maybe you survive the Western game.
Yep.
But then that kid can go just play for the rest of the season.
Right.
Because there has not been a single true freshman snap for NDSU this year. Not one.
Right.
So if you know, Marty Charmar Brown is who you want to get a look at from Creighton Prep in getting OJ's touches.
Run the rock, kid.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, we got one more game and then you go nuts.
I wish that rule, obviously, like, I still think just make it 5 years of eligibility. The four-game thing is, like, a step in between, I think.
Right.
But, like, think how this would affect Josh Hayes' career.
Yeah.
When he went in the playoffs and was a huge part of our championship run that year. Could have played for another year if he stayed in Fargo.
Absolutely. All right. Bison Report Radio brought to you by the good folks over at Gateway Chevrolet. I've got an oil change scheduled for tomorrow. Actually, probably the day you're getting this here. No, we'll say that because you guys got a BW coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Got a bench warmers coming. All right. So this will come out Thursday as we're recording. So I got an oil change tomorrow. I'm very excited to see the good people over at Gateway Service. Everybody knows they've got a phenomenal inventory of new and used vehicle, but I always like to show a little bit of love to the folks at on the Chevy Cadillac side in the Hyundai Nissan side is great too, but the folks at the Chevy Cadillac side do such a great job in service, and technology that they've got is awesome. I mean, they've got an app where they'll just send you like, hey, this is going on. You could replace this filter or that or this. And you just click yes, no, yes, no. And then they run your credit card. And you don't have to – there's nobody giving you the hard sell.
Yeah.
You know how you get a mechanic on the phone and he's like, I don't know.
Starts throwing the lingo around.
Yeah. No, it's just like, this is happening. We think it's this serious. Do you want to spend that $312 or no?
Right.
And so the technology is awesome. The service is awesome. And I can't say anything nicer about the good folks at Gateway. I've always bought my cars there. We'll continue to do so right there on the I-29 frontage road by West Acres. Okay. We have to we did. Before the show, we briefly discussed how funny it would be to just do a Western Illinois preview show.
What everyone's here to hear,
because you know, apparently I've never, and I'll put my hand up, maybe I'm a bad FCS person, I honest to God have never listened to a minute of a different FCS, especially like team podcast. I just have not. I have too much stuff on my plate, truly. I do, and you know that.
Yeah, and that's not like a disrespect. I just consume the teams that the media that I like to listen to.
Right.
It's not, right. I'm not dissing.
I find it frankly odd that non-Bison fans frequent our content as much
apparently
as they do.
Some in Grand Forks do. Shout out Mr. Gebhardt getting
there's people. So that's the thing, right? It's like, I guess Trev got put on blast. I had a tirade. Like, so I have I'll just say it has, I don't know how this person found it. I have an old Gmail that has, I played golf for Concordia. It is Cobber Golf something. Is the address. I'm not going to say it, but it has Cobber Golf in it. And I got a profanity-laced tirade you don't know ball, you're a clown, always been a clown. And then they, what is Hoka Hay? The guy signed off with Hoka Hay.
I have no idea.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This UND thing. We'll probably get yelled at for that being offensive or something. I don't know.
If I offended you with Hoka Hay,
yeah.
I can't help you.
And we text about this. The burners were out in force. Lots of you don't know ball. And
yeah,
it's like, it's yeah, right. You guys it's won right. One football game. And it's
yeah, don't know how to act, is that it's the thing there. But look, I don't know. Seriously, I don't have a ton of thoughts. We're going to do the joke podcast that we did. And here we are. It just felt sick. Like, it was tough to watch.
Like, I don't know what, like, analysis we could really bring other than, like, looking at the box score and saying,
yeah,
hey, they beat us by 25. It was just,
yeah.
Got brought behind the shed. And
so, okay. Two things that I'll say about kind of structurally what I struggle with. And that is, at some point, and this is not an excuse because they did this on purpose, okay? At some point, I feel like, and you can just see by the most basic glance at the roster, there was a decision on defense to defend the spread.
Yeah.
Whether it was JMU or Eastern Washington.
It was to win in December and January.
Yes. Sure. Okay. Well, cool.
I'm with you on what your point's going to be.
That has led to 275-pound defensive tackles.
Yeah.
220-pound, 6'1" defensive ends.
Right.
And 215-pound linebackers. And it ain't working.
I think, like, winning Missouri Valley football can translate to winning in the playoffs is my biggest point.
Sure.
Where is Aaron Steidel? Where is Nate Tangway? Like, where is
my dog, Brian Schatz?
Right. Where is, I mean, there were stretch, and I was a younger child, so this might be a little bit hyperbolized, but it feels like there were stretches where there weren't 100-yard rushing games in seasons.
There is a game where they had an All-American running back in Brookings, and I think we held them to 22 rushing yards.
Yeah.
And for a while, the total was negative.
Right.
Jerick was on the field for that game. They just weren't running through that gap.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Brian Schatz's mentality. I'll never forget talking to him. He was like, you were not running through my gap. You right. just weren't.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, you go back. I'm sure there's a loss where NDSU just got it thrown around their heads. But you go back and really look at why NDSU has lost 3 or 4 consecutive games to South Dakota State. And why NDSU has lost to UND and why NDSU has lost to USD, watch the game.
It's domination in the front seven.
The NDSU's front seven is not winning. And whether that's a technique thing, which is what probably the coaching staff will say, I'm willing to listen to that.
Yeah.
But I also feel like if you had a 310-pound nose guard and a 240-pound mic,
right,
we'd be having a different conversation. And yes, I get it. And Matt Entz has made this point to my face. Nick DeLuca is not always going to walk through that door.
Yeah.
Jabril Cox is not always going to walk through that door. But I think that they jumped the gun a little bit on the smaller defense, smaller, faster defense, and always wanting that Sam backer to be kind of a corner hybrid
right.
has been tough because Jabril and Jasir aren't always just walking through that door.
Yeah.
And you watch the games that they've lost, and it's like the antithesis of Bison football.
Yeah.
Losing and up front.
My biggest thing, and we're going to go in, like, and I know it gets to the staff somewhere or another.
Whatever.
And whatever we say, but it's just like, these guys know how hard it is for players, coaches, for me to talk and criticize them in any way. I will handle what I think is a fluke USD loss, but watching last Saturday, it's like, when are the adjustments going to come to fit the Jimmys and Joes that you recruit? Like, like maybe it's a different style of defense that we need to run.
I mean, losing Wiz sucked.
KYP, know your personnel.
Yeah.
You know, you got to run what they're good at. And something's disconnected somewhere because UND up and down the field the entire game, man. It's not characteristic of what we're used to watching with them.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of it. And even in wins, it's like,
yeah,
it's still happening. So
I know. You don't have to tell me.
We need the snapping turtle back.
And I'll say this too. If this comes back to us, whatever. But you and I have taken some slings and arrows for this staff.
Yeah.
And
I still will.
We are criticized as homers, frankly. Yeah. I mean, we are criticized as carrying the water specifically for the offensive coordinator.
I will carry his water.
But I mean, you know what yes. I'm saying? Like, yeah. So anyway, you were there. Seems like that was a terrible experience.
Yeah, it wasn't very, very good. A lot of bets, a lot of, like, talking trash, surrounded by UND fans, obviously, where yeah. we were sitting.
Yeah.
And then immediately opening kick, house call. And I was like, this is not great for setting the tone of yeah. how the day was going to go.
And they got a punt block. I mean, that was as bad.
Is there a worse sound than thud thud when you're at a game?
Buddy. Yeah.
It's so bad.
And that was one thing, man. Like, Ben LeCompte used to talk about this all the time, climbing. Like, they treat special teams as a third of the game.
Oh, yeah.
It is emphasized, okay?
And, you know, I heard a lot of thud thuds when Quinn was in the shield, but, like, after he left, not a lot of that stuff going on. And the emphasis of not only just, like, the coaching and how serious we take special teams, it's not just a disregard, but, like, talking about how special teams can win you football games, not just yeah. lose you games. We always got the percentage breakdowns of, like, if you don't have a penalty and don't have a turnover on special teams, your odds of winning go up by 78%. As soon as you have a turnover or a block kick, it goes down to, like, 22% or something. Like, it yeah. was always drilled into the back of our head. And that's just an execution thing.
I said that, and I think the game was still certainly, like, within reason. But I just said, guys, they gave up a kickoff return touchdown and had a kick blocked. Just so you know, and I was just telling this to my family, just so you guys know, if they win this game, they are a statistical anomaly.
They're beating, like, the odds.
Oh, it's if they win this game, it is bonkers.
Yeah.
Because that is, it's just not done.
Yep.
It's just not done. Okay, so you were there, mostly terrible. The kickoff return obviously was a huge deal. I'm sure it was electric in there. Like, none of us want to give those fake football fans, and they are fake football yeah. fans, credit. But it had to have been unbelievable in there.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And it's what makes college football awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you walk in, you're getting horns down in your face. You're like, all right, let's go. We got 60 minutes. And then you start yeah. to lose, and it's not as cool. But right. if we go in there and win, like, that is why college football is awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of hockey jerseys, a lot of people that left, like I said, to go watch them play some exhibition game against Wisconsin. Yeah. I mean, and then they have the audacity to get online and talk to me about whatever through a burner. Right. Shout out Ralphie Dampson if you're listening. But, yeah, I mean, it was my buddy's birthday, so we stayed up there for the night too went out on the town. You think I wore any Bison football stuff out? I didn't want to get harassed.
Yeah.
No, it all was right. – I don't know. We talked about – it is a hard place to play. Like, you
– Yeah.
You have
yeah.
to make your own energy, and you breathe life into a stadium and a team like – UND, and it makes it very hard to come back, and I'll give them that credit.
For sure. No, I mean, I mentioned, like, I hate the flatness of their seats.
Yeah.
Because the Fargo Dome is really like a basketball arena. It's right. very upright, you
You're
know. I don't like the flatness of their seats, and I obviously think that having no end zone seating was dumb.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done that. And I've talked all the trash I'm going to – well, I probably haven't. But, like, people know how I feel about the Alera Center. With that said, you're right. I mean, it is a tough place to play.
Yeah.
They've beaten South Dakota State there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of always had that on the SDSU. It's like, well, at least we've never lost to those losers. Well,
we did.
Here you go. you know, the drive to go down and punch it right back in was huge. And then yeah. And that's the big deal. People want to talk about, you know, roll this, roll that. They had, I think, 25 at half, or they had
17
at half, you know, yeah. on pace for 34 points.
Right.
That's winning football.
Then that was my bigger point of, like, why I point to the defense to have my critiques.
Yeah.
You can win football games when scoring 24 points. It's hard to win football games giving up 49.
Yeah. You're not the Cooper Cup Eastern Washington squad, right? So, like, I mean, you're pacing. You got 17 at half. You're pacing for 34. You get into the 30s at NDSU, you need to win games.
Right.
And they didn't get into the 30s because some other stuff happened. But, like, the pressure on the offense, an offense which isn't built to win from behind, is tremendous when your defense is just getting its ass kicked.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I.
There's not a lot to say after, like, everything we've said.
That's the tough part about it, right? Because we've talked our talk and yeah. talked about the trick plays that they've had to run to score, and the domination and how untalented they've been on offense compared to, you know, all the, I mean, you look at the point totals from UND in the other four games, they're pathetic. Yeah. Or other five games, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Are they 1-5 or 1-4 against us?
1-4.
Okay.
And
either way.
Yeah.
Either way. The point I was trying to make is, like, the one thing you could kind of count on was UND wasn't getting into the 20s. They certainly weren't ever going to get into the 30s.
Yeah, and we were going to break their nose while they did it, if they really tried.
Right, and a lot of it was like, they've run a fake right. punt. They ran a fake looky-loo to the outside and threw a touchdown. Like, they've done BS.
Yeah.
2 years ago in the Alaris, they should have had three.
Right.
They had 10 on, they had a touchdown on a pick. They should have had either 3 or 6 points in that game.
Yeah.
They got whatever they wanted on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they wanted.
I don't think people understand how hard it is to score 49 points in a college football game and to do it against NDSU of, like, what historically the Bison are.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't. And you talk about it in the trick plays and the misdirection and stuff. They didn't need it on Saturday.
I know.
It was just straight up bully ball.
I know. You know, we've been – one thing I'll say, and again, like, whatever, this comes back to us, fine. I personally, and I think NDSU's in a really tough place, both with the transfer portal and the coaching carousel, I was sort of okay with the Petrino hire.
Sure.
Like, not, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, he might be a very good football coach.
Yeah.
This is a very small sample size.
Yeah.
But with that said – you know, I don't think he's got a ton of FBS experience. I think he's just kind of been around the Valley, right? And mm-hmm. that's fine. Good football is played in the Valley. And NDSU has had trouble with his defenses in the past. But yeah. I've always liked these kind of younger, up-and-coming minds like a Bronny, like Entz when he got hired as the DC, And it just didn't seem like Petrino was that. Again, he might be a very good football coach. The results that I have, the data that I have of him coordinating NDSU Bison defensive football, it ain't good.
Right. And
it's easy to just put it all on him. Part of it is the stuff that I talked to. He got handed 211-pound linebackers.
Right.
He got handed 268-pound defensive tackles.
Yeah.
But there is stuff that I wouldn't do that he's doing also.
Yeah. It's so tough because we are homers, and we will carry the water. And it's like,
yeah,
I'm not out here. It's so hard being as connected to the program as we are to be completely, you know, impartial and really go after people. But, like, it's a small sample size, and there's still time to turn it around against good football teams to go in. We might be talking the second week of January and be like, hey, Petrino didn't give up a point the rest of the season. You never know.
Right.
But
we could be doing this 6 years from now and saying, man,
build a statue.
Yeah, like, he's been great.
Yeah.
You know, he's been great.
And it's hard at the FCS level to really have hires that, like, move the needle, you know?
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, how did we get that guy?
Blazek was one.
Exactly. There's a lot of levels to go through before you get guys like that. And I don't know. It's just, like I talked about earlier, you have your personnel. You are a defensive coordinator. Figure out how to use them most effectively. And I don't know what that is. I'm not a defensive guy, so that's the other thing. I'm not going to sit here and critique him about that. All I know is there's uncharacteristic Bison football being played on that side of the ball.
You can't say what I'm going to say without sort of obviously implicating the players that would come off the field.
I think it's just we're spinning it as you're talking about guys we want to see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so we're talking about bigger, stronger, faster, and how NDSU went away from that. A lot has been made of Entz can't recruit.
Yeah.
I beg to differ.
Yeah.
Where do you think Cole Wisniewski came from? Where do you think Cole Payton came from?
Right.
Where do you think, Jalen Sundell came from? Where do you think,
Brandon Westford, Mr. Football. Yeah.
Right. How do you think they beat who they beat for Joe Stuffel? I could go on and on and on. Like they can still recruit, I promise you. But they're either not developing, which would be upsetting.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the case.
Or they're not playing them.
Right.
And that's where there are some fourth, fifth, sixth year guys that just aren't producing.
Yeah.
Can't. Sorry. You are what your tape says, or you are what your stats say. More, you are what your tape says. But, right. I mean, like, it ain't working, okay?
And I don't know how you can – and it doesn't even have to necessarily be a critique on a single guy. But, like,
right.
just watching the defensive production
100%.
Is – how do you say it? Things are going really, really well right now.
Things are not.
Right.
I regret to inform.
I know.
Things are not.
I dealt with it for 24 hours, 60 miles north of here.
So – guys that we're talking about that we'd like to see, or that I would like to see play, Darius Givens. Sam Young is currently leading the NDSU defense in snaps. I love Sam Young, and this is going to sound like I'm coming down on him. That seems like a big load for a guy that was a special teamer until now.
Right.
And did not undergo some sort of insane growth spurt or increase in speed or...
Right.
He's just a solid football player, and they're asking a ton from him right now.
Yeah. And that's not even a negative thing.
No.
Are we putting Sam Young in a spot to succeed right now?
Right.
You know?
And maybe every snap of every game, the answer's no. Also, right. Sam Young, walk-on.
Right.
I got nothing but nice things to say about walk-ons.
Right.
Darius Givens, everyone wanted Darius Givens.
Right.
Sam Young is 5'11", 190. Darius Givens runs like a deer at 6'3", 210. Can a brother see some Darius Givens?
Right.
That's kind of where I'm at. Kelton McCaslin. I'm not even going to name names. I have seen enough 6'1" defensive ends that weigh 225 not win outside. I've seen it enough. Mm. All love to Greg Menard. All love.
Yeah. Still, Greg was like 250.
I have seen enough. Okay, Kelton McCaslin at 6'5", 235.
Big cat.
And everything that I have heard about Kelton McCaslin and everything nice that they said about Kelton McCaslin last year, I'm not at practice. Are you at practice?
Mm-mm.
We don't know. Yeah. I'd like to find out. I would like to find out. And another guy at that position, two more guys at that position that were highly, highly touted recruits. Matt Wirtz, who is now a transfer from Arizona, and true freshman Abe Myers. Abe Myers could have gone anywhere he wanted. Not anywhere, but like up here.
Right.
Kind of anywhere he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big deal.
Right.
And maybe he's not ready. I'd like to find out.
How do you know?
I'd like to find... We've had true freshman pass rushers in the past.
Absolutely.
It's not insane.
That's a position where you can do it.
Yeah.
And it is, hey, go sack the quarterback.
Yeah.
And obviously there's calls or whatever in there, but it's just like, I hope that's what we see out of the next two games. First of all, win each game comfortably and
yeah.
keep everybody healthy. But, like, let's get some burn on these young cats, man. Let's put
– yeah,
because you can talk about how guys aren't ready from seeing them in practice. They're also playing the Bison in practice.
Right.
Is it a different situation when they're playing little lower of a skill level?
Okay, when I say middle linebacker, 6'2", 231, does that make you happy or sad?
Happy.
Okay, so Nathaniel Staling, big deal kid. Now, he's one of those guys like a James Hendricks that played quarterback in high school because he was the best athlete at his school.
Sure.
I'm sure there is learning he needs to do. We have talked ad nauseum. I would not hate to see a little bit of Logan Kopp at Sam on early downs. And give me either, I don't care. You want to give me Kubitz at will? You want to give me Wirtz at will? Sure. Mm-hmm. They know the spot. That's whatever.
Right.
If Nathaniel Staling only knows how to play Mike, let's see what that's like.
Right.
You're going to play two kind of true inside linebackers? Give me one of those Mike bodies at the will. Give me Logan Kopp at the Sam.
Yeah.
And then if you're going to get thrown on, bring in an actual defensive back.
Yeah, and this is a pretty good point to, like, reiterate that this isn't a negative. Logan Kopp is a very good football player.
Yeah.
But, like, where can we put him in a different spot to get a guy like Nathaniel on the field where, hey, if you have a guard coming up to the second level, your mic should make him hurt every time. And
yeah.
I don't know if that's happening right now.
And I can love, and I do love Logan Kopp. You can't fix Logan Kopp being 6'1", 220.
Yeah. And he plays great for being that size.
Heck yeah.
It's just... It's not working right now.
Right.
And it's not an indictment on just Logan. That's
right.
What we're talking about 100%. In this segment. Okay. We are already pre-apologizing for a lot of things, and we're not even saying mean things.
Can I? All love to Eli Green, and I'm not even. There's no caveat. I just want to respect what Eli Green's doing right now.
Dog.
Can I see Mekhi Collins?
Right.
Can I see Carson Hagley? Can I see Bryce Lance? These humans are physical mismatches for valley corners and safeties.
And I don't care if it's third and long. That's the only time we see them. I don't care if it's just pass downs.
Right.
Maybe they don't have the grit to go stick their nose and block in the run game. They can run by people. Yeah. And I'd like to see it.
Who at 6'4", 215 as a redshirt freshman, a three-star, a high three-star.
Yeah.
Who is covering Mekhi Collins in this league?
Wasn't Carson an elite 100-meter dash too? It's like, yeah. Who's covering that?
Yeah.
At his size.
Anyway. And then Najee Nelson, I just would like to see more depth at corner. Like, I've not super loved what I've seen defensively from either Marcus Shepard or JP. I would just be honest about that. I mean, JP got beat down the sideline by the kid that used to play, Eliador, used to play at USD. I've seen Shepard get beat enough. Sure. Like, I would rather they were kind of a part of a rotation I wish they were more part of a rotation at like last year.
That, like, I was just going to say, it's what I wanted to see last year.
If we could get like Najee and Jaquise Alexander, and sure, you want to involve Gennaro or I can't remember the other corner, Reggie King, you want to try and work in kind of a bigger corner. Like, we can sort of play some matchups. I don't need to see any more of 70 snaps from Sam Young and Marcus Shepard and JP.
Well, that's fairly different. Like, unless you have a lockdown corner, that guy doesn't come off the field, right? I feel like it's fairly typical to rotate corners.
Yeah.
And it's just not happening.
And not subbing.
Right.
Just leaving Julian and Oscar out there to whatever's going to happen. Like,
right.
This, by the way, there are dogs, and NDSU has one. NDSU has two, I would say. There are dogs at slot corner in this league. This is maybe not the league to just let your linebacker try and cover these dudes.
Yeah.
Carter Bell, Bo Bellquist, Eli Green, Raj, the one of the pick a Yankee twin.
And until anything with that changes, you're going to see tunnel screen for 8 yards a pop until something changes.
Yeah.
And it's extremely frustrating to watch.
All right. So, I think NDSU's now, I believe, 20-7 against UND in men's basketball and football. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. I don't know if you were ever ready for UND to beat NDSU in football in Division I. I don't know if you were just ever ready for that to happen. It had to happen eventually, or maybe it didn't, but it did. I mean, it did. Especially once all of the games stopped being at the Dome.
Right.
Like, winning on the road, people don't understand this. NDSU has won on the road over the last decade in an absurd, just absurd rate.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen that way. And so one of these games in Grand Forks was going to go their way, and it happened to be Saturday, and that's it. I mean, that's they won. They outplayed NDSU. They had no excuses, no reffing. No, they just holding on every play.
Yeah,
no. UND won the game.
Yeah. Makes me sad.
Okay.
The bigger thing is, like, I would rather lost to them in the fashion we lost to USD, and obviously. Sure, right, I'd rather not lose by 25. But, like, I was talking to my dad. Any other team in the Valley, it just happened to be the University of North Dakota, all lowercase.
I will say this, though, man. You can
– and then I have to hear flagship. And,
I know.
Oh, my
I know,
God.
I know. And honestly, it's probably good for everybody because that's still, in my opinion, is a very mediocre staff. Like,
yeah. Hey, say something nice, challenge about UND. Bubba's a very nice guy.
Like, and he is. Yeah. But, like, I mean, I don't have anything different to say than I have for the last 4 years. Is like, Danny Freund and Bubba Schweiger can coach there forever.
Yeah. They might.
Cool.
Yeah.
Don't think they're going to make the semis.
Yeah. that's the bigger thing. Like, what do they go out to UNI this weekend?
Yep.
That is absolutely a game I could see UND losing by 21.
Potentially.
And it's just like, that's the way it goes.
Right.
They got up and they beat us when we were down. That's Saturday. Thing,
right? And then that's, I think, like, you really want to talk about, you want to feel good about yourself if you're a Bison fan. It'd be hard to say, like, it'd be hard to more illustrate the gap between these two programs than the way that that game was treated. That was a regular season home win,
yeah,
which is what you're supposed to do. Now, obviously, 14th, 15th ranked team in the country against the 8th or whatever, that's an upset. Sure. Touchdown underdogs, that's cool. That was the biggest win in UND football history.
Do you know? Yeah.
It was.
Do you know how embarrassed we would be if the Jackrabbits came up here for the marker game and we stormed the field?
Buddy.
It's just not happening.
Buddy. And again, I want to say he is a nice man. I've interviewed Bubba. He is a nice man.
He really is.
Have you ever seen an NDSU coach in any sport weep after a regular season home win?
No. And, like, I got some fake guilt trip from the UND coverage people about why he was crying. And it's
stop
like,
it.
Do you think any NDSU coach hasn't gone through, like, horrible things throughout the season and, like, dealt with tough circumstances or reasons to cry?
I mean, like, we forgot to send our condolences to Coach Roll. I'm pretty sure that he just had a significant, like, inter-family loss. Like, these coaches have, they all have personal lives.
Yeah.
Okay. It all goes beyond football.
Yeah.
It's, like I said, could you imagine an NDSU coach weeping?
No.
After a regular season home win?
No. I haven't seen one show that kind of emotion after a championship win.
After a natty.
Yes.
Anyway, I had to give the UND people something to get mad about, and there you go. There it is.
Here come the burners.
So what needs to get better? No, but, like, okay, let's narrow it down to the things that we think are actually fixable for the, because there's no trading block.
Yeah.
Unless there's some very, very good defensive tackle in the student body right now that we don't know about. Help is not on the way, okay? Yeah. There's no AAA farm system.
Calvary ain't coming.
Yeah, you know, we can't, you know, negotiate with, like, some kid who's not getting as much playing time as he would want at Iowa. Like, hey, come on down.
It's trade block would make college football insane.
Yeah, exactly. Get some NIL in there. Like,
Cam, they would bring Kirk Ferentz to have Cam Miller on their football team.
Yeah, like,
right,
we'll
now
give you Cam Miller. We'll start Cole Payton, so we'll give you Cam Miller – and 10 Comfort King mattresses, but we need a defensive tackle and a starting corner. Give us Cooper DeJean and
Cooper DeJean in Fargo.
Bro, he had an offer. I think I think Cooper camped here. I'm not joking. I go back and look. Anyway.
He's a dog.
Boy, we're getting off topic here.
This is what happens when you don't have, like, a lunch break. We're doing a show over. It just turns into a 2-hour.
I know. How about, remember when Riley Moss was committed here?
Yeah.
Anyway, was that your
remember
class?
When Felix Anadike was committed here?
Now we're just making each other sad. Felix might have helped on Saturday.
Oh, my God. Felix would have 40 sacks a season if he was still here.
Okay. So let's answer that real quickly. Like, what that can get better should, or, like, what can actually be accomplished? You got two, as I called them, layups. Can't wait to get yelled at for that. But, like, you got two, you know, kind of, you're going to be 30-point favorites in both games.
Yeah.
So you got two of those at home coming up. You got two get-right games in a row. What can be accomplished over the next 20-ish days to get ready for Brookings?
I think, like, beyond the stuff I've preached all year, the, you know, the dumb penalties and the tackling. I'll say that every week that I want to see that cleaned up or whatever. That stuff seems to work itself out late in the season anyway. But I think just watching the O-line, from my perspective, it's five very good football players that I don't think are quite playing up to their potential yet. And that's evidenced by...
Yeah, they were not great.
Yeah.
And they were not great.
Against, you know, fronts that aren't really remarkable, like guys that I would tip my hat to and be like, hey, they beat us because they're better than us. That's not happening right now.
And that is one other, you know, you want to talk about coaches and Roll this and Petrino that, like, I have not necessarily concerns about Dan Larsen, the football coach.
Yeah.
Dan Larsen, I don't know if he's an offensive line coach. Like, you look at the dudes from UN, for NDSU, it's like they're a lot of sixth-year Blazek slash Riley
sure.
guys. Like, and maybe it's just because they can't pop over those guys, but you go back in the recruiting classes, and I know Max Rader, probably it sucks that he, you know, portaled to Wisconsin, and there are cases like that. Mm-hmm. But even the interior guys, they had to go into the portal for the Zadishka kid, and like,
right.
you know, Rock and Pontius aren't starting yet. Well, maybe it's because Mauk and Volson did, but like, you know, you would have hoped that maybe Rock and Pontius were a little further along, or somebody on the interior kind of would have. And Westberg, I guess, is an example of that. But just the Rams used to be like an NFL machine.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Jalen's a leaguer, but I'm not seeing that. And then certainly, like, on film, I'm not seeing what I used to see.
And that's my bigger thing of the, like, you went to those guys for the edge. You went to Austin Kuhnert to, like, have him rip somebody's head off and set the tone. You went to Tanner Volson to throw a cut block that makes the defensive tackle think about not playing the rest of the day. Cordell, obviously, a leaguer, but, like, was a guy that would set the tone in the way where he's going to bounce your head off the turf, and it's going to happen for 60 minutes.
And he'll make you so mad that a UND defensive coach will try to fight him.
Right. And but, like, I saw a little bit of that out of Kubis, and I just – maybe these guys are playing a little too tight, like they're taking too much pressure on themselves or they're not having yeah, fun and burying people. But, like, I saw Kubis in the Eastern Washington game have safeties 30 yards down the field eating pellets. And yeah. it's just like, where is that fire a little bit? But yeah. they're playing every snap of every game.
Yeah.
So how long can that last
yeah.
where you can do that? And I guess that is – if all else fails, NDSU football can hang their hat on running the football. And I don't know
yeah.
how much we can rely on that right now.
All right. This episode, this very cheerful episode of Bison Report Radio, also brought to you by the good, good people at Big Deck. And by gosh, if we don't have the co-founder and current president of Big Deck Barbecue, Mr. Zach Wallace.
You give me a different title every time we do this.
I do. What do you got going on, brother?
You know, we're just getting up for holiday season. We're going to be out.
Ooh, gift boxes.
Gift box season. Yes. You know, everybody hates shopping for dad or boyfriend because we always say we don't want anything. We have yep. everything we need. Pay $50. It shows up at your door ready to go under the tree. It literally does not get easier. But absolutely.
Use code Bison Report for full price.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't beat that deal. No, we're gearing up for Pride of Dakotas, all that stuff. We're going to be showing our face in public a lot here soon. So I apologize for that, but come buy some barbecue sauce if you see us.
Love to hear it. At the 47-minute mark of this podcast, let's talk about the game that's going to happen in 2 days.
Done at the 51-minute mark.
Yeah. Matt Morrissey, pretty good. I like watching him play. I do. I think he was on the list of guys that I like kind of compared to Cam or when trying to sort of quantify some of the kind of amazing things that Cam has done statistically this year. Matt Morrissey was one of those guys with Gronowski and certainly with the love of my life, Theo Day at UNI. I've talked about Theo Day constantly. But then, you know, Aiden Bauman's in there and old reliable Tommy Schuster, who I think threw four passes against NDSU. I'm not 100%
sure.
And
none of them were beyond 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
My gosh. Talk about making it easy on a kid, and credit to him. He did what was, I mean, he hit that one ball to Eliador, and that was all they needed.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, that's a tangent. But Matt Morrissey's good. Matt Morrissey is the best player on Western Illinois. I will say that.
Head and shoulders above, which
is a good thing to have the quarterback be the best player. But it doesn't make them any less 0-6.
No, it doesn't.
According to PFF College, which is kind of, you know, I've told Zach, like, I have not had a chance to watch Western. I'm sorry. Like, I haven't. This has been an interesting week for me professionally for a number of reasons. And, like, this just, I have not watched Western. We looked at the PFFC numbers. It ain't good.
I come to you, faithful Bison Report listener, and ask, would you respect me less if I had tried the Western Illinois tape? Because I would be less of a man if I had.
Yeah, run block grades, poor.
Bad.
Pass block grades, poor.
Stop saying poor.
It's not great.
This is a cave of delusion right now.
We are, as much as we have ever been in the studio, we are down bad.
Yeah.
The boys are down bad. Anyway, 0-6, 38-point underdogs. It is what it is. Here's a crazy one, though. we talked about kind of the advanced stats or the grading, I guess. Depends on if you consider grading an advanced statistic or what. But, brother, 1.1 a carry.
You don't need a lot of context for that.
That's crazy, dude.
1.1. Like, we said that in like when we were typing up the script. I can't wrap my brain. You would think they could QB sneak for like 1.5, right?
Well, because like, right, so like I'm 6 feet tall, so I'm 2 yards tall.
Right.
So if I fall forward, it's 2 yards.
Yeah.
Maybe 1.5 because I got the ball high and tight. You know,
sure. I'm 4 points of contact.
100%. 1.1?
That's poor.
That's crazy. It's poor. It's crazy. So I guess all I'll say about that is you want somebody in a different uniform to try and fix your run defense? How about the team averaging 1.1 per carry?
This is like the definition of a get right game.
Heck yeah.
Like we can talk about whatever personnel.
Yeah.
It needs to be 100% clean execution against a game like Western Illinois. This might be the worst Valley game we've played in a very, very long time.
It's possible. I mean, you don't have a performance like they had against UND and then the next week just be 38-point underdogs.
Right.
There has to be some kind of nasty and on the other side.
If we would have won against UND, it might have been like a 45-point spread.
Crazy.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Defensively, they gave up 6.1 per rush and 9.8 per passing attempt. It's just tough times right now in Macomb.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that necessarily to make fun. I'm just like, we are the Bison Report. We are reporting to you what the deal is. Yeah. We are trying to make it clear kind of what the expectations should be.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's Western is, they're not like necessarily a roller coaster, but they have some up years every, you know, once every year.
There's a 5 and 6 year out of a Western Illinois every once in a while. Absolutely.
When we went and played them in 2018, they had Colin Saunders, the tackle for the Saints now.
Dog.
I mean, that game wasn't. Yeah, like doing backflips.
Alien, dude.
That was a legitimate dogfight game.
Yeah.
And like, tough to beat. And that, like, we talked about USD and Missouri State, how they just kind of have, like, that sparkiness to them sometimes, that characteristic that can override some talent that's on the roster. Western does not really have that.
Right. Yeah. So they're bad. I don't know what else to... Well, I don't know what else to say. They're 0-6.
Yeah.
And anyway... what are games like this, how can this be constructive, right? How do you stay focused? How do you, because this is not a like opponent. This is not a peer institution at this point in the thing. Like, so like, what are you learning here? How can you take something good from a game, especially after with what happened last week?
Yeah, and I never like expect perfection from an NDSU football team, but right. This has to be as close as it can get just because of how bad the opponent is, and especially because of what happened last week. This is the, you know, you just got beat up by your bully at school, and you came home, and now your little brother's mouthing off to you after he beat you in Madden. All right, the beatdown has to happen. It just so happens that Western Illinois is coming into the Fargo Dome this Saturday. I don't necessarily think my expectation would really be changed by an outcome. That comes this Saturday.
Yeah.
My expectation could get worse if this is a 14-point game in the fourth and stuff like that. But you just need clean execution. The stuff we talked about earlier would be a bonus if we see these young guys get a lot of snaps and, you know, contribute when the game is still early, first and second quarter.
Yeah.
Because these games do get out of hand. We'll probably see. I'd love if 85 guys played on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest thing. Stay healthy. I don't know if like I would feel a lot better about the game in 2 weeks in Brookings, depending on what happens this Saturday, but I could feel worse about it depending what happens.
Sure. And so that's the last question. What could you see on Saturday in a game like this that would actually make you feel different about the SDSU, SIU, UNI finish?
I think only the attitude that we play with.
Okay.
And that's my biggest thing. Okay. Beyond all the technical stuff, all the personnel stuff, how are we going out and fighting against an inferior opponent? Is the fire there? Does this look like Bison football again?
All right. You and I are going to dispense with the score predictions a lot to a little.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we're not trying to nail this one. Think NDSU gets into the 40s or 50s. I don't know if Western scores. That's where we're kind of at. Thanks to the Big Deck Barbecue. Thanks to Zach. Thanks to Gateway Chevrolet. And thanks to all you who are listening. Have a great weekend and go Bison.